This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. Watching the three major trading continents, Europe, Asia, and the United States. We begin, however, with a general opinion of these last days and the question of inflation being introduced by the central bankers. The inflation story is driven by concerns about energy. We have news from OPEC that there will be a cutback in energy, in production of oil in these next months going forward. Originally, I understand it was stood as a geopolitical favor for Russia. Russia needs higher oil prices because it is fighting an aggressive war in Ukraine and struggling. However, an analysis by the Financial Times in these last hours points to the fact that OPEC Plus, that includes Russia, is adjusting to what is predicted and what is understood as a recession, either with us now or right in front of us. And OPEC Plus doesn't want to build up inventory as it did the last time there was a recession. That led to lower prices because they had to work off the inventory. Chris, a very good evening to you now. We start with OPEC Plus and this anticipation of a recession. In your understanding and your work in these three trading continents, is a recession used as a scare word now, or is everybody, is there just shrugging? Yeah, of course. What else is new? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. It's certainly, at this point, an undeniable truth that we're seeing globally. If you're looking at China with container shipments down 30% export, if you're looking at Germany with a number of the very large heavy industrial industries either being put offline because of energy costs or restricted in their output and production. And then if you look at the statistics in the U.S., it certainly seems that recession is here. Now the question from the OPEC side would be, with this increase in target price, and Goldman Sachs came out predicting a $110 per barrel oil price in the very near future, will that simply add to the recessionary flames and fuel the fire even more?
The question of recession then is no longer shocking to people. What is shocking, of course, is what we have in Ukraine right now, the war that is being fought with unknowns, the winter coming on, question of energy shortfall for winter. In Germany, there are headlines suggesting that what we have here is a need to subsidize the energy requirements of the public with a large amount of cash to be borrowed of the future. That has disrupted everyone in Europe because the idea is that the EU is going to show solidarity, not have individual members, the rich, subsidize while those not rich cannot, leading to higher electricity costs and real want in Europe. You do B2B in Europe. Is the expectation the winter needs to be mild? Is this an arbitrary matter? Are people digging in saying we're going to cut back?
Right now, I think the greatest adjustment is fear, in that people are starting to get these new higher bills, both at the residential and at the consumer side. And you're seeing businesses having to raise their prices or even challenge their business models to say whether they can stay in business. So I think that you see fear for the cost for this winter, and then for the following winter, maybe fear that the energy will be available in general. But it's certainly a concern across all economies.
And the question of doing business with Europe, you see how many franchises deal with it. Are they still shutting their doors, Chris, or have they taken heart and cut back on their overhead? How are they adjusting in Europe?
At this point, it's a twofold problem. The very small businesses are seeing the greatest problems because they don't have buying power and they're more at the whim of the commodity whipsaw. And then the very large heavy industrial businesses, especially those energy and petrochem faced businesses, are in many cases no longer sustainable with these energy prices. And they're just contemplating how they continue, or do they just mothball the business until the energy resets to a normal level?
We come from Europe, which is struggling now with the unknowns of the war. We come from there to China, even a bigger mystery. However, in these last days, Chris, I've done reporting saying that all eyes are on Xi Jinping and his imminent ascension to being unprecedented third-term general secretary, maybe even more. Maybe the title chairman. They certainly call him helmsman, leading. I'm told from conversation with overseas correspondents for The Economist that what we have here is unknowns even in China about whether the zero COVID policy that has bedeviled the major exporting cities these last months will continue or not, whether or not Xi Jinping is committed to prosperity, as in the most recent past, or control of all corporations and businesses. You have businesses on the mainland, and the last time you told an anecdote about manufacturers, I believe, making cold calls saying, have you got any business for us? Is that still going on, Chris, or the anxiety of the private enterprise about the future?
It is, and you're seeing many steps being taken now, specifically with the devaluation of the yuan. So I think all eyes are on Mr. Xi, if reelected to his role, as to whether he pivots left or pivots right. Will China close the doors and further seal off the economy using COVID as a control point, or will they seek to liberalize and reopen and re-energize that economy? The thing that is very unusual in China is that for the first time in generations, you're seeing mass unemployment. And that mass unemployment is not something that the Chinese are used to, especially in the younger people, 25 and below. So that unemployment could cause further problems. I would wager that the Chinese have to really focus on getting the economy back on track, or that unemployment becomes a challenge potentially with civil order.
The supply chain, which was often the explanation for the inflation that we suffered in 21 into 22, has the supply chain been solved by this anticipation of recession?
It's actually somewhat antithetical, which is now strange, where container shipments are down 30% in the last, call it 90 days. You're now starting to see disruptions in transit because you have ocean vessels that are canceling transit trips. So it continues to be choppy. It's much, much, much improved from where it was earlier in the year, but still not yet smooth sailing.
And the question of the container ships moving and not moving. I've read that there are container ships that are now being canceled, whole container ships being canceled, not just the price of shipping a container. Does that say that they've missed the season, that it's too late for Christmas, we're into spring, and that we can look into 23 and say that there will be no certainty of the supply chain that late? Can we see that far?
The Christmas season is already over from the container ship perspective. What I think you're seeing now is the repositioning of assets and the transit fleets trying to prop up or support some premium to what container rates were pre-pandemic. Obviously, there was a surge during the pandemic, in some cases 10, 12, 20 times the normal cost. That's now back down to about 2x the normal cost pre-pandemic. I think that you have container companies taking inventory offline for transit to try to stabilize that price. But right now, it still looks like it's a bit in a free fall. And if the container volumes continue to lessen, you may see a new all-time low in that container transit cost.
Now we come to North America, well, the Americas, the new world. The Bloomberg headline in these last days, New York City offices to see $50 billion in value wiped out, study says. Subhead, researchers estimate the value of city stock of office buildings will remain well below pre-pandemic levels given the rise in remote work. This was something we've seen coming for a long time. Is it a surprise to the budgeters at City Hall or in Albany?
What will be kind of surprising or shocking from that Bloomberg story, which suggests that there may have been a reduction in value in New York office property by as much as $453 billion. If you translate that based on the New York City real estate tax rate of 0.88%, could be a $4 billion hole in revenue that could hit the city in the coming year. So I think now it will become a point of, where is the bottom? Are we in a office market crash in those major metros? And how will that translate to municipal budgets and services? And does that continue a downward spiral of smaller budgets mean less services, less cops on the street?
Again, are you seeing this in secondary cities? And any indication that the budgeters are anticipating a fall off of asset value?
Certainly in some of the smaller cities that we do business in and talking to municipal authorities, there have been reductions in income and revenue because of that remote working. But you don't have the same depreciation in office value because they never had the heights of the New York or the San Francisco, just a much more middle of the road if you're in Des Moines or Peoria.
gasoline prices. We come back to that. I see quotes of $6 and even $7, sometimes $8 in California. However, it can be as low as three something in Arizona. I've heard under $2.99 in Texas, right near the center of the oil patch. Do you see any direction in the Midwest, in Ohio, of gasoline prices immediately?
Today, we're in the low threes. I had the opportunity this week to be in both Northern California and Florida and saw the difference between $8 in Northern California and $3 in Florida. Just an amazing contrast of energy cost within the same country.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scala.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage. This is the Scala Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.